And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Oh my word, it's going to be a beautiful day outside. I hope you get to spend the whole day outside in the nature. It's the way God designed it. All right, I'm going to get right to it this morning, and this is for your consideration. I realize as soon as I start bringing up a topic like this, I'm going to have some people that they like it, but there's going to be a whole bunch that don't. Remember, this is just to educate. This is for your consideration. I had a firestorm not that long ago over a topic like this, and I don't want to repeat that, but this is for your consideration, because everybody loves children, right? All right. Where'd I get this from? I got this from Knowledge of Health, from Bill Sardi. I like him. Anyway, the title of the article is, it was posted May the 11th, 2017 by Bill Sardi, and he says, Striking Differences in Health Outcomes Between Vaccinated and Unvaccinated Children, Reported for the Very First Time. And what I find intriguing about this is there's not a lot of studies like this. This may be one of the first ones that I've read. But very, very interesting. And if this is the first time you've heard anything like this, you might ask yourself, well, why don't they do comparative studies like this all the time? Well, you're pretty smart. I think I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself. Okay. I'm going to read what Bill says right here. The first study comparing the health of vaccinated and unvaccinated children has been published. Mothers of homeschooled children were surveyed. I realize that's going to get in other people's, that's going to get in their craw also. Don't listen, don't overthink it. Mothers of homeschooled children were surveyed, a population of 405 vaccinated children versus 261 unvaccinated children were compared. And here is what the survey revealed. Number one. Here's the first contrast. Vaccinated children do experience more infectious disease. So when they looked at chickenpox, kids that were vaccinated, children that were vaccinated, they had 7.9% occurrence of chickenpox. Those that were unvaccinated, 25.3. So you get the gist of it right there. Those that were not vaccinated against chickenpox, well, they caught it, 25.3% versus those that were vaccinated. So the other thing that you might ask yourself is, you mean even vaccinated children against the chickenpox still got the chickenpox? Yeah, 7.9% of the time. Well, when it came to whooping cough, those that were unvaccinated against whooping cough, they had 8.4% experience of that disease, whereas those that were vaccinated, 2.5%. So even those that were vaccinated, they didn't have total immunity. How about measles? Those that were unvaccinated, 1.9%, which is more than 0.3%. Evidently, the vaccine for measles is probably very effective at generating antibodies. Okay. However, there was an increased incidence. However, there was an increased incidence of both subsequent single event and chronic health problems following vaccination compared to unvaccinated children. To me, this is where it becomes very, very intriguing and interesting. So I'm just going to throw it out here pretty quick. What about kids that are vaccinated developing ear infections? 19.8%. Well, what if you're not vaccinated? Only 5.8%. What about pneumonia? Those that were vaccinated, they had pneumonia 6.4% of the time. Well, what if you're not vaccinated? 1.2. Well, that's a pretty big difference. What about allergic rhinitis? That's kind of allergic runny nose. Well, those that were vaccinated, they developed it 10.4% of the time, and those that were unvaccinated, only 0.4% of the time. What about all allergies, total allergies, okay? Kids that were vaccinated, they had allergies 22.2% of the time. Those that were unvaccinated, 6.9%. What about eczema? Well, it actually says eczema atopic dermatitis. Those that were vaccinated, well, guess what? They had eczema more and dermatitis more, 9.5%, versus those that were unvaccinated, 3.6%. What about kids that have learning disabilities? Well, is that rampant in today's environment? You betcha it is. Those children that were vaccinated, they had learning disabilities 5.7% of the time. Those that were unvaccinated, 1.2%. You can see how this is building a little bit of information here that you might want to question. How about the kids that have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? If you're vaccinated, you get it 4.7% of the time. If you're not vaccinated, 1%. So out of 100 kids, almost 5 have ADD, and the ones not vaccinated, there's 1 out of 100. Any neurodevelopmental disorder, that's autism, hyperactivity, learning disability, well, as you guessed, those that are vaccinated get 10.5% of the time, and those that were not vaccinated, just 3.1%. How about the need for allergy medication? Okay, this is a different question. Well, they're just asking, which kids need allergy medications to be able to cope? Well, those that have been vaccinated, 20% of the time they did, whereas those unvaccinated, that was 1.2%. I think that's a pretty big difference. Okay. Here's another question. What about the use of antibiotics in the past 12 months? Those that were vaccinated, they required antibiotics 30.8% of the time over a year. Those unvaccinated, 15%. Hospitalization, interesting. Those that are vaccinated, they were hospitalized 19.8%, and those that were unvaccinated, 12.3%. I don't know if that's a huge difference, but it's a difference. Chronic diseases. Okay, those that were vaccinated had chronic diseases 44% versus those unvaccinated 25%. This one's interesting to me, and this is just concerning boys, not girls. Boys with a chronic condition. It says autistic spectral disorder, and that can be a broad range from the top to the bottom. Those that had vaccinations, 7.7% of the time, versus those unvaccinated, 1.9% occurrence. This pilot comparative study on the health of vaccinated and unvaccinated 6 to 12 year old and the U.S. children. That comes from the Journal of Journal of Translational Science, Volume 3, 2017, in case you want to look that up. This is also interesting in the study. After the adjustment for preterm birth and vaccination, the odds for a neurodevelopmental disorder among vaccinated children 2.5 times greater than unvaccinated. So you can't tell me that there are not long-term consequences to vaccines. Okay? I think if we're going to be honest, we need to look at the pros and the cons. So I was honest. When they compared kids that were vaccinated against chickenpox, those that were vaccinated got chickenpox less than those that were vaccinated. It goes on to say, preterm birth itself was not significantly associated with neurodevelopmental disorders. That just means if you happen to give birth just a little bit early, that's a preterm baby, let's just say 34 weeks, that in and of itself doesn't tell us whether or not the child's going to have some type of major neurological, neurodevelopmental disorder. But when you combine preterm along with a vaccination, then you have 6.6-fold, that's 6.6 times, increased odds of developing a neurodevelopmental disorder. That could be everything from autism to learning disabilities to some type of... The authors of the study concluded there were striking differences in diverse outcomes between the groups. And Bill Sardi goes on to say, in a prior report, I cited that unvaccinated children do not pose a greater risk for the spread of infectious disease, given that A, other children are vaccinated against those diseases, and B, most of these unvaccinated children have developed antibodies against infectious diseases naturally. That means they come in contact with the germ and their immune system generates antibodies to help them better respond. Now, this I find interesting right here. Bill Sardi goes on to write, I also reported that zinc-sufficient children... By the way, this week on the way to work, I listened to a lecture concerning the relationship between copper and zinc. And I don't know that the person giving the lecture really was able to clearly look at both equations, but he was saying that zinc is not good. However, let me read this to you right here, and let's just kind of sort through it together. I report also that zinc-sufficient children, that means kids that have enough zinc, they generally do not exhibit anything more than mild symptoms when exposed to infectious diseases or vaccine-delivered viruses and bacteria, and they should therefore undergo a regimen of zinc supplementation prior to vaccination to ensure adequate development of antibodies. Just as a side note, you have a gland called the thymus gland. It is, in fact, the largest gland within the immune system. One of the roles of the thymus gland, it does a bunch of stuff, but one of them is to help make sure that your body can generate antibodies against substances that are bad or toxic to the body, like a virus or a bacteria. But you need zinc to do that. Let me see, what else do I have right here? Now, this is also interesting. I'm just reading research right here. There is a... All right, let me kind of get you up to speed. You do know what the number one cause of death in the U.S. is, don't you? That'd be heart, cardiovascular, that sort of thing. And so this is information, let me just kind of cut to the chase. If you go to a cardiologist or you go to a medical doctor with a heart issue, most likely you're going to walk out of there with some type of calcium blocker, beta blocker. They're almost assuredly going to recommend a statin, which is a cholesterol-lowering drug. Here's a little tidbit of information right here from research. It says dietary fortification with major mineral electrolytes that control heart rhythm, such as potassium and magnesium, would save far more lives than statin drugs. This is one meta-analysis study. There is more evidence that zinc, that's what I was discussing earlier with kids that would like to avoid sickness and illness, there is more evidence that zinc can reduce mortality rates for coronary artery disease than there is for statin cholesterol-lowering drugs. A recent analysis shows that statin drugs only prevent non-mortal heart attacks or non-fatal heart attacks. Let's put it this way. The only way that you're going to know that you're having a fatal heart attack is if you die. It's not a good way of finding out, is it? It says here that zinc inhibits the formation of plaque, which is called atherosclerosis, in the inner lining of the arteries by virtue of its displacement of iron. Of course, iron can oxidize and reduce oxidation, which causes hardening of the LDL cholesterol. Well, guess what here? A new study just came out showing cholesterol-lowering drugs actually reduce your zinc levels. I think everyone's, if you haven't heard, most people have come to the point where, why am I so tired after I take cholesterol-lowering drugs? Well, one of the reasons you could be tired is you've got to have coenzyme Q10 in the energy pathway to generate energy. Your cells and your mitochondria, where all energy production takes place, oh, they love the stuff. They need it. But if you're taking a drug that lowers cholesterol, well, you're kind of destroying your coenzyme Q10 at the same time. Well, here's another one they can measure. People that take cholesterol-lowering drugs, they kind of destroy their zinc levels. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, I just realized I've been talking for 15 minutes straight. Please feel free to call 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in. Call and ask me a question about health or a loved one or yourself. If your body is giving you warning signs that something's not working right, then why don't we just start to see if we can't come up with a way to improve you? That'd be fun. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
Pretty good. I have a breathing problem, and I was doing really good. I went on a ketogenic diet, and I felt fantastic. And I was exposed to somebody who's sick, and now I'm not doing so well.
Well, your lung, the lungs are the weak organ, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Do you take garlic at all?
No. I cook with it.
One thing that happens is when you apply heat to garlic, you sort of, I don't want to be negative about this, but I'm just telling you the truth. If you consume raw garlic, if that happened to be like a raw clove of garlic that you might add to a soup, that'd be fine. But once you cook garlic, you kind of destroy what's called the allicin. That's the active ingredient that's been shown to have anti-cancer effects and just a tremendous benefit for your lungs, though. So if you will consume either garlic capsules or raw garlic, I think you'll tell me your fortunes are turning for the better.
How much would you recommend that I would... if it was you?
Well, if it was me, it's not going to take more than 2 to 3 capsules a day.
Okay.
It's not going to take 400 capsules, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just 2 to 3 should get the job done. And the other thing is, most likely the lung tissue is weak and you've got this infection that's kind of set up shop in there. So if you will, do that. And the other thing... I know this; it'll be kind of hard to breathe it in, but if you took the common herb or spice called thyme or thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, if you were to put that in a tea kettle on the stove and bring it to a boil, just place a towel over your head and try to breathe in those medicinal vapors and see if that doesn't help steam clean your lungs.
I grow that, so that'd be easy to get.
And the other thing that I would tell you to do, and this may not make logical sense, but I've seen it work over and over and over again, whatever form of deep breathing exercises that you try, if you will just literally force yourself against your will to do deep breathing exercises, because it's not going to feel natural. If you have an infection in the lung, and every time you try deep breathing, it's going to evoke a cough, right?
Yes.
But if you'll just kind of power through that and still kind of force yourself to breathe deeply, I think all of a sudden you'll be able to get past that threshold and you'll say to yourself, wow, 10 minutes ago I could just barely breathe and it would make me cough or I would have some discomfort. But now I can breathe much deeper. So just kind of plow through that. And what you'll find out is it's going to help those conveyor belts called the cilia or the lining of your lungs to start ejecting debris much better and much faster.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, you got nothing to lose.
That's right. That's
right. See you then, or go sit in a steam sauna. I know, but if you went to a local gym, there'd probably be a couple of older, very, very hairy men sitting in there waiting to, you know, engage you in a clever conversation.
It wouldn't get much out of me. That'd just be a little wheezer.
You know, right? You know I'm joking.
Yeah, so am I.
But if you would be willing to do that. The other thing that I want you to really do is, if you can go in the backyard today or the front yard or if you have privacy, I would ask you to sunbathe your lungs. I didn't say you had to breathe in pollen and dust from the air, but if you'll expose your lungs to the sunshine, meaning the skin of the chest and the upper back, but you need to be rubbing those muscles over your lungs. Just rub them. Let's get them to drain and open up.
Okay.
Climbing Mount Everest is not my recommendation.
Okay. So if I was to rub them with coconut oil and...
Oh, yeah. I'll take it gladly.
And castor oil mix.
Sure. If somebody didn't have that, I'd take olive oil. You know, the other thing that I like, and this is messy, but I'm going to tell you anyway what I would do if it were me. If you take a wedge of lemon or a slice of lemon or half a lemon, however you do it, just rub lemon juice all over the skin that covers the lung fields.
Really?
Very sticky.
Yeah, definitely.
But how does that affect me? I'm not the one doing it. I'm just recommending it.
That's true.
I have no intention in doing these things myself. I'm just going to recommend them to you. So if you'll rub the lemon juice over there, that'll act as a gentle solvent. And you might tell me that you really like the way that you feel your lungs improve. And I mean, there's just a thousand things that you can do, but those are what I would do.
Okay.
But work with the raw garlic.
Okay. And would you recommend that I would continue the ketogenic diet?
Well, a ketogenic diet is going to be the technology that allows you to get more oxygen to the rest of the body. And a ketogenic diet, it kind of starves. Here's what we know. Anytime a person has a lung infection, you can look at their blood glucose, and it goes up every single time. So if a diabetic were sick with a cold or the flu or a bug of some kind or infection, they're going to see their blood sugar just shoots off the chart. But with normal people that don't have diabetes, I still see the same thing every single time. Blood sugar has a way of shooting up. So more of a ketogenic-based diet is probably going to be very, very advantageous to you. I kind of shudder to think what would happen if you had not been doing that. It could have been the end.
To you.
Well, that's no fun.
I'm serious. I probably wouldn't be talking to you.
Oh, bless your
heart. I know I'm feeling fantastic. About a month, I was feeling fabulous. It was unbelievable. What have you been doing?
I know, but I would be foolish to disregard your opinion on that matter. If you say you were feeling fantastic, all you're doing is comparing yourself to what you did feel like prior to doing a ketogenic diet, right?
Yes.
You're probably going to need additional zinc and magnesium during this time right here.
Okay.
But keep up the good work and see if you don't make some great progress today with your breathing exercises. Just do deep breathing exercises.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I appreciate your phone call.
You have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you would like to join me on the air, there is a phone line officially open, 903-586-5257. I got a text from John Paul this morning. This coming Tuesday is the 30th anniversary of KBJS. I think it's from 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock. They are entertaining any guests that want to come and visit the radio station, kind of participate in the festivities. I'll even see if I can make it down here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. I'm a fairly new listener. I'm a 46-year-old male, and I've had high cholesterol since I was 18. I was diagnosed with high cholesterol. And my doctor put me on statin drugs at that time, and I've been on them all this time for nearly 30 years. So I've gotten off of them here and there because of the things I hear about them. And I've had two stress tests done over the last 5 years, and the dye, and they can't find, there's no blockage that they can detect. And I also had the calcium test done.
Oh, interesting. What did that show?
Zero. Nothing.
Wow.
So my question is, why should I be taking this these statin drugs that, you know, have all these side effects and are bad on your liver and everything else? And here I am, close to 50 years old, even though when I'm on the drug, my cholesterol still stays between 260 and 300.
What would it be without the drugs?
Well, I got off of them one time for 6 weeks, and it jumped up to about 380-something.
Yeah.
But, I you know, it's kind of like, well, if there's no blockage at this point, what's the point in taking the drug?
Even though you're a new listener, but who do you think you are trying to ask reasonable, intelligent questions like that? You really feel like you have the right?
Well, my doctor, I've asked him the same thing, and he's like, do you want to take a chance on, possibly having a heart attack?
Well, everybody's entitled. Yeah, he's entitled to his opinion on that. Let me ask you just a couple of simple questions, okay?
Okay.
And believe me, I'm not trying to be difficult at all. All right, if your calcium score comes back zero, I mean, isn't that like very conclusive proof that you're just not in bad shape, that you're in pretty good shape?
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
The other thing that you can look at, and I'm trying to think, they have all these new high-tech blood tests that they've had for probably 20 years now, where they actually break down the forms of LDL cholesterol to find out which ones are the bad. Have they ever done those studies on you?
No. I think he did mention one time that, I might be a candidate for something like that, but he, it kind of was just in passing talking, and he just never
pursued it, right?
No.
All right, well, let me tackle it this way. Number one, I think knowledge can be power, meaning if you have good information about your body, like that calcium scoring test coming back at zero, I mean, that's phenomenal. That's awesome. And as far as I know, all the studies demonstrate that statins, they only work for one thing, and that's non-fatal heart attacks, which means they don't really have that much benefit anyway. But as far as preventing plaque from building up in the arteries, they do not do that at all. So I don't know that I can blame the cholesterol drugs for causing your calcium score to be at zero. There is a blood test called homocysteine, or it's a blood marker or a lab value. Homocysteine has been shown to be 40 times more predictive of somebody that's going to have cardiovascular problems than a cholesterol profile is. The most accurate marker that I know of is called lipoprotein A, or it's just capital L, small p, and in parentheses, you got this little small subcapital letter A right there. But those are the most accurate markers from a blood test, and if yours is in the normal range, you're probably one of those people that doesn't need that. So to say, well, it's up to you, I don't want you to have a heart attack, that's immaterial. That's not even on the radar as far as reality goes. So I don't know that you need that because, every time you take statin drugs, I'm not trying to be negative by saying this, but study after study demonstrates that if you take them, there is a greater risk of developing a neurodevelopmental disease like Alzheimer's or dementia or Parkinson's.
Well, I think I have a touch of that already. My memory used to be great, but I'm slipping a little bit here in the last couple of years. That you mentioned being weak, I'm there. I have no energy hardly. In fact, I just went to the doctor day before yesterday, and he did a complete blood work on me, testosterone check. Everything checked out fine, but yet I feel bad all the time.
Yeah, no, I believe everything that you're saying.
So, I'm about ready to just chuck them in the trash and trust in the Lord and just take my baby aspirin every day. Now, my cardiologist, when I explained that in that way to him, he's like, he said, it hasn't been proven, because I did say this to him, I said, now, it's never been proven that high cholesterol in itself causes a heart attack. And he said, you're right, hasn't. But it has been proven by taking the baby aspirin every day that it will prevent a first heart attack. So I do take the baby aspirin every day.
If I compared the role of the mineral magnesium versus aspirin, I can tell you what the studies show. It's going to show to be so much more superior than even baby aspirin is at preventing strokes and heart attacks. It's just phenomenal research. If I had it in front of me, I'd read it to you, and you'd be very impressed. But those drugs that they're giving you, they're basically killing your energy production. So let me just kind of fill it in for you. There's an enzyme called coenzyme Q10. It's a substance that your body makes, but when you take a statin drug, your body's ability to produce that is basically hamstrung or destroyed. You've got to have that to produce energy.
I did take the CQ10, but when I did, I started breaking out in these little blood spots all over on my skin.
Well, and unfortunately, you got a batch that was contaminated or had turned rancid, and that's not uncommon.
Okay.
And it could have been as simple as a supplement that you had. It had a little bit of a brown color to it instead of a white, creamy color.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, they're the little capsules, and I get them at the health food store at the granary.
Well, if you broke out in blisters, it was just a contaminated batch, and there's been a... I hate to say it like this, but there are so many vitamin purveyors... They think nothing at all of buying a batch of coenzyme Q10 that it's at the end of its lifespan so they can buy it for pennies on the dollar. You know how you go to the grocery store and they can say, milk expired yesterday, half price. And you're going, well, let me roll the dice and see what happens. But you can't be shocked if it's sour or turned bad if it's like 2 weeks past the expiration date, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of vitamin manufacturers. That's their claim to fame. They buy huge batches of vitamins that are about to expire as far as they're turned rancid or they're oxidized, and they still sell them as if they're brand new. Anyway, and I'm sorry about that, but if you broke out in little blisters, you got a rancid batch.
Well, when I say blisters, I mean they're little blood spots on my skin, and they don't go away.
Well, let's talk about it this way. That's a negative reaction.
Right.
The other thing is, those little bitty blood spots on your skin that don't go away, those are usually called cherry hemangiomas, and they can, hate to be negative, but they can be part and parcel to a man that's developing prostate cancer.
Well, I do have an issue with my prostate also. I've had since I was in my 20s. I had chronic infections in my 20s. And
oh, bless your heart.
This was right after I had a vasectomy, and I don't know if that was coincidental or what, but I was on sulfur drugs for like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And finally, at the granary in Tyler, a lady that worked there for years said, you need to be on this pill, and it's called prostate support, that it has salt palmetto and zinc, high levels of zinc, and some other stuff, pumpkin seed. So I started taking that, and that's been 10 years ago probably, and ever since I've been on that, I haven't had hardly any issues with my prostate.
Well, good. But those red spots, those are a concern to me. I'm just being honest with you. And so if we could change your energy metabolism to where you can start producing energy, that's how your body repairs itself. Without energy, it's kind of hard to repair everything. So... I can't technically tell you to disregard your doctor's advice and don't consume the statin drugs, but if you start doing research on your own, you're probably going to come to the same conclusion that you came to a while ago. Do I even need these? Am I going to survive them? Because I don't want you to lose your memory.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, what am I going to, you know, am I going to have liver disease and all this other stuff? And but yet, I'm not going to have a heart attack, well, which is... You know, it's like a toss-up. What
do you do? Well, to me, I don't know if toss-up's what I want to use, but no, I know where you're coming from. I would say it's comparing apples to oranges. One way is life, the other way is... I was going to be negative, but see, I just pulled myself back. I was going to say death. Well, what can I do to help you? Anything?
Well, I just want to get your take on it, but I'm thinking that I'm just not going to... I don't take them anyway like I should anymore. You know, they want you to take them every day. I might take 2 to 3 days out of a 7-day week. So
I'll tell you this, just as a brief side note. There is a very simple blood test called fasting insulin. If your fasting insulin levels are high, that puts you at risk for heart problems. The other one that they measure very easily is called hemoglobin A1C. If that is above 4.5, then you're going to have a need for magnesium. That means you need magnesium.
Okay.
But if I wanted to live, I'd probably take magnesium.
Okay, so it's not going to hurt me anyway. Go ahead and just take it.
Are you kidding? It's going to help you. It's going to help. You know, there's a different concept here. When they use a drug or a chemical like a statin drug, they're trying to suppress and turn things off and prevent your body from doing this or doing that. Magnesium is just a raw material. That'd be the difference between somebody that's interested in nutrition. I'm only going to provide the body what it needs so it can keep itself in good repair. You don't really have to tell the body what to do with magnesium, but the moment you put Crestor in the body, or Zocor, or Lipitor, or the rest of that crap, you're just basically poisoning your system as quickly as possible.
Well, that's what I'm... Now, as far as the magnesium, is there any particular... Is it coming...
Well, there's a lot of magnesium out there, but if you get magnesium that's based from a food or an amino acid chelate, that's going to work better for you.
Okay. All right.
But well, I wish you the very best. Let me know how it turns out.
I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day, sir. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Happy Mother's Day. Even I have a mother. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Please, call in. I'll do whatever I can to help you. Back to the gentleman that just called. And I realize if you're just hearing these things for the very first time, it's going to kind of catch you out of left field, like, you know, what do I do about this? But knowledge is power. Learn. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you, ma'am?
I am well, thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
How many kids do you have?
Three.
Do you like them all equally?
Actually, you know what? That's a loaded question.
Oh, sorry. Well, we'll scratch that question then. Go ahead.
I called you about a month ago. You gave me some advice about a rash I had between my breasts. Do you remember this?
Yes. Just like it was yesterday. Of course.
Well, you told me to use apple cider vinegar, and I've been using it. It worked like a charm. It worked perfectly.
Oh, good deal. Well, way to go. Of course I remember that. How dare you question my memory? Well, that's great.
Yeah, I just wanted to call you and tell you thank you.
You're sure welcome. Great. That's great feedback. But, you know, the other thing about this is, did apple cider vinegar cost you very much?
No, I already had it in my pantry.
Oh, so it was already paid for.
Yeah, it was already paid.
Did you have any toxic side effects?
None.
Did you have to go to the ER?
No.
Okay, I'm going to call that a win if it worked then. That's what you call a non-toxic remedy. My wife, she has probably criticized my cleaning abilities of the shower and the bathtub, because you know what I use? I use white vinegar.
Wow.
But it's strong smelling, right?
It is strong.
I mean, but would you be willing to make a trade-off if your husband would clean the bathtubs and the potty and the floor and everything with vinegar? If he would just let it air out for a couple hours, it'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Yes, if he's got to do the cleaning.
Maybe I should get off that topic. No, very, very good. You made my day. Happy Mother's Day to you. I hope your kids arise this morning and call you blessed.
Me too.
They're probably making breakfast in bed for you right now.
They are not. They are still asleep.
Oh, they're dreaming about while they're in bed making breakfast for you.
Right.
Thank you very much for your phone call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If you haven't heard this program before, it's Health Essentials, and I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for your phone call.
I have a question. I have chronic fatigue syndrome, and I have had it for 15 years. I had a very severe emotional blow. And I woke up one day and just passed out, and have been very, very sick ever since.
Oh, bless your heart.
I have exhausted all of our financial resources on holistic doctors, regular doctors. The only thing that ever made me feel any better, and it was just for a little while, is they used to give me IV doses of vitamin C and magnesium, I think. And that would last for about 24 hours, and then they ruined my veins, and I couldn't do that anymore, plus it was too expensive. So I just live on, a psychiatrist gives me Adderall, and I take that during the day, but I've never found anything to heal me. And so if you could give me some advice, I'd be greatly appreciative.
Boy, that's kind of a tall order, isn't it?
Yeah, but I hear you're a great doctor, so.
All right, so you're going to let me have a go at it, right?
You bet.
Can I just be very frank and blunt?
Yes.
All right, number one, you have a gland in your brain called the anterior pituitary, and the pituitary produces a hormone called growth hormone. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
Human growth hormone is responsible for healing everything and anything that needs to be repaired. And basically, you've got an energy deficit, which means your body's not in a state of great healing. So if they were to measure your human growth hormone levels, it'd probably be abysmally low.
Okay.
Number two, the pituitary tells the adrenal glands what to do and how to do it, along with the thyroid.
Yes.
I would be willing to guess with 2,000,000% certainty, I just made that up, that you have completely exhausted your thyroid and your adrenal glands.
I do. I've had all those tests, and yeah, they're all like shot.
And so when they're exhausted like that, we have to find a way to bring them back to life. So, number one, if you were to place your body in the steam sauna for 20 minutes a day, that would generate human growth hormone. Yes, you put your body in this thermal stress or heat, and your body counters it by causing the pituitary to release more human growth hormone.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to go on a side topic just for a second. I believe everything that you're telling me. There's nothing you're going to tell me that I'm going to dispute or argue with. I believe every bit of it. But the muscles of the body, they do not lie. They tell a story about every person that walks in the door, or in your case, over the radio. But in your hips, you have a muscle called the gluteus medius. And I tell you what, that muscle is never working right. It's always weak when somebody has chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm just choosing that one to talk about instead of other ones. So would you say for the most part you feel like your legs are a little bit weaker than what they should be? Does your attention, is it drawn to your hips? Do they ache? Are they sore when you lay on them?
Do
your hips, do they feel sore or tender when you lay on them?
Not particularly.
Well, what I find is when the pituitary is weak and underperforming, the hips are almost always weak. There's a correlation there. It's very easy to examine, but what you're doing is you're trying to demonstrate where the weakness of the person is, and you're trying to do that. Now, it's very, very difficult. I know this as well as anybody else does. Anybody that's ever been in healthcare, whether you're a massage therapist or you're a dentist or you're an optometrist, well, I shouldn't say that, but as just a regular physician that's seeing health complaints like chronic fatigue and pain and inflammation and emotional trauma, it's just nearly impossible for a doctor to hit the nail on the head and hit the primary problem and catch it right out of the gate.
They might say,
well, and if you take Adderall and get some benefit, what that's doing is that's increasing frontal lobe activity, and that's the part of your brain that's responsible for saying, man, I can't wait to get out of bed today. I've got all these things that I want to work on. This is one project, two projects, three projects. This is how I'm going to tackle them. I'm so motivated. I can't wait to get them done. I'm very, very happy. I can't wait. But when the frontal lobe is weak, you just really can't think of anything that you really want to do because you're just bone-weary, tired, and exhausted.
There you go. That's me.
So between your pituitary, your thyroid, and your adrenals, we've got to find a way to get them back online. Now, I can't cover all the possibilities just in a few minutes, but I would say I would be shocked if yours were just severely, severely underperforming. And so even though you remind me of the woman in the book of Luke that for 9 years she spent everything she had on physicians because she had an issue of blood. Remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Until she touched Jesus. Well, I'm not Jesus. I wish you could touch me and that would cure you, but I can't do that. But all we have is good old-fashioned hard work. So I would look at the adrenals and the pituitary.
Stuff to like strengthen, you know, stuff from granary and stuff that adrenal support type stuff, and I've taken thyroid support type stuff. Now, I've never addressed the HG hormone, which you said I could do that about 3 minutes a day in the sauna. But
yeah, well, in I don't even know how many cases I've seen like this to where somebody says, this is what I've done with this doctor and that doctor. And just to have the person make a complete reversal because you were able to prioritize or pinpoint, that's what you've got to do. If you don't prioritize the most important issue, then what have you got? You just have more of the same. So I don't have any magical way of knowing if what you've taken from the health food store is really even remotely addressing the root cause of your problem or really fixing anything. I just don't know that.
Okay, well, so
I would venture a guess that it's not. And I don't mean that in a bad way because, number one, when you go to the health food store, you're trying to help yourself, right?
Right.
And you're willing to take that person's advice, like, what do you think I should try? But you've done this for years now, right?
15.
How much benefit has it yielded you?
0.
Okay, so let's just retool and back up. What if we wipe the slate clean and just start over? But it may require some type of evaluation where we can actually figure out what your issues are. But in the meantime, no harm in going to a sauna. You can go to a sauna every day for 20 minutes. You could try sunbathing for 20 minutes a day.
Oh, you could actually.
Are you taking any prescription drugs of any kind besides Adderall?
Yes. I take Ambien to sleep at night, and I take two forms of antidepressant.
Well, without going into a long, drawn-out process, there are many drugs that prevent the mitochondria. This is where all energy production takes place. And you're probably taking 3 out of 4 drugs that stop the mitochondria from producing as much energy as you want them to do.
Right.
So there's got to be more to this. There was a lady that came to see me who for years and years and years has not slept. And she's telling me all of a sudden that she's sleeping. And I'm going, okay, I believe you. What have we done? And she goes, well, I'm doing this. And so I'm going, all right, well, evidently that's working for you then. And sometimes, but foundationally, if we don't get the pituitary and the hypothalamus and the adrenals and thyroid probably reconnected where they're doing their job properly, it's just that you can't just get, I mean, yes, one person in 1,000 can go to the health food store and they go, that's all I needed. Well, that was probably just a mild case, but if you've had 15 years of no success, then something is missing that hasn't been brought up.
Well, I have a question. In the years of the research, you know, on the internet or whatever that I've done on this, they seem to say that it's an immune system disorder.
It can be. And let me give you just a simple point. This is not what I would call deep brain surgery or rocket science. If you have a chronic low-grade infection that you're harboring in your body, like a viral infection, that will completely deplete your body of all its hormones. Just as simple as that. And there's a lot of people that I see that way. Number two, there is any time that you say chronic fatigue, that is always, in my mind, associated with an autoimmune disease.
Right.
And autoimmunity means that for a variety of reasons, your body is generating antibodies against your own organs and your own tissue. So if your body is producing antibodies against your thyroid, that'd be called Hashimoto's or Graves' disease.
Right.
If it's producing antibodies against your adrenal glands, that's a whole different ball of wax all the way around. But there's got to be something that we can do to turn this around. That's why
so my question is, you've seen people heal from this?
No, ma'am. In 30 years, I've never seen any healing. Of course I have. Yes.
Well,
let me say it this way. Do you know there's a condition called fibromyalgia?
Oh, yeah.
There was a very, very interesting study done about 4 years ago that really, really caught my attention. I'm just going to spell it out for you real quick. They took women that had a known diagnosis of fibromyalgia for 10 years duration, which means they had been on boatloads of medications, they tried this, they tried that. And essentially, what happens psychologically to a person is when they've been on a medication for 10 years, they kind of start to think, well, this is just normal, I'm not going to really get any better. And a group of researchers, and I won't go into all the treatments they offered the women, but they had, and I'm just going to say 100 women, because that's about what it was. They said, we really think that we have a system that will completely reverse your fibromyalgia, but it's going to take a good year to get there, according to our studies. And they said, are you willing to try? And they had 97 out of 100 women completely refuse the treatment.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Well, you better believe it because it happened. And so what do you think about that? 97 out of 100 women that had been on drugs for 10 years and considered medical failures with fibromyalgia, they completely refused a new plan of attack. But here's where I'm getting to. Here's the bright side of it. But there were 3 women that did, and they're all 100% cure cases. And so what they did was, the researchers said, Well, this doesn't make sense. We're offering these women a cure, but they're just completely refusing it. They're not taking it. They just want to stay on their drugs, and they want to maintain their Social Security disability, and they want to maintain.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to it than what I'm telling you, but I know that you figured it out. But so that what they decided they would do is that study the three women. So they gave them questionnaires, and you know, and the personnel. And I'm not going to go over through all of it, but to me, it's very fascinating. Number one, they had a personality, or can I call it a quality in their personality? They always felt like that they could do better in everything that they did. They felt like they could do a better job after they did the job.
Oh.
And so with the three women that did, they always felt like they could have done just a little bit better. So even though they felt bad and they felt horrible, whatever task they would do their best, but they would go, you know what? I probably could have done that a little bit better. And does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay, number two. They always felt like that they should do the very, very best that they were capable of, even though they were completely exhausted on every level. So what they would do is they would kind of push themselves beyond their limits sometimes, and they go, interesting. You know what number three was? This is the one that I am so intrigued about. The three women, and they were all independently agreeing, they didn't know each other, but they said, you know what, my life has much greater meaning than life itself. And I thought to myself, well, that describes what a believer would say, or that describes what a Christian would say, and that's very interesting. So they always felt like that whatever kind of work they did, they could have done better, or they didn't do quite good enough. And I'm not trying to make a personality flaw out of it. But you know, what does the Bible say? Whatsoever work your hands find to do, do it with all your might, serving God, not man. Right?
Right.
I think Jesus said in the book of Luke, you know, even if you've done everything that you can do, you still need to consider yourself, you've only done your duty. You're still unworthy servants. At least I think about that verse frequently. You're only doing your duty. But to make a long story short, all this spurred them on to be willing to try a new protocol.
Right.
You don't know how many times that I failed at doing this. I approached a man, I won't tell you where, but he said, yes, my wife, she's not able to ever go anywhere or do anything. I said, well, you know, there's a solution for that. And basically, it was like the other 97 women. Well, she's tried everything. Well, in a nutshell, they have not tried everything. But yes, whether it's fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, there is an autoimmune component that must be dealt with. So number one, we have to find out what the trigger is. Are you eating a food? And I'll just kind of break it down. We're either going to find it's dairy or wheat or corn, probably 90% of the time. The other ones is probably tomatoes or potatoes or peanuts or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It only takes one exposure to one of those foods once a month to tell your immune system to generate antibodies against that.
Right. The things I've read say that there's two kinds of chronic fatigue, and I don't remember what the other one was. I just remember the one that they said that was called sudden onset, which is what mine was. And they said that that is much harder to cure.
Well, and I realize that, but you had a very severe emotional event that you went through, and that probably hit you so hard it just exhausted every system in your body to help counter that. So what are the options we have? We either get you in good working order, or we don't.
Yes. Well, my mother-in-law is the one that told me. She listens to you regularly, and she's the one that told me to listen in and call in.
Well, she is known to be extremely intelligent and bright, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know her then. she said, because you have to forgive me, I'm totally ignorant. I've never listened, but she said, you are a doctor and that I can make an appointment to come see you or whatever. So is that what you would suggest?
Well, if you want me to figure it out, yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to be healed.
You know, all these things can be put to the test. You know, I don't know if you caught the woman that called on the radio this morning about the lung issue.
Yes.
Do you remember what she said? She said, when I was on a ketogenic diet, I felt amazing. I felt fabulous. Those were her words. And if I had been smart, I would have anticipated that you were going to call and talk about fibromyalgia. But there's a lot of things that I know that you just haven't been exposed to, and you haven't tried, and you've never even known to do what to, you know, how to do them. But to have a woman with severe lung issues and severe health problems say that she felt fabulous on a ketogenic diet, I mean, does that tell you that maybe there might be some hope that we can improve how your body converts food into energy? Because you can't get away from that. You're going to have to eat food until the day that you die, right?
Right.
What do you want to do with your life if you felt like $1 million? What would you do right now?
I don't know.
Well, what would you like to do?
I can't even think that far. I would take much better care of my child.
How old's your child?
He's 16, but he has Down syndrome, and
you know, so I keep him more carefully. Well, you need to be at your very best, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Boy, the prize is high. If Mama is in good working order, everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
I love it.
So what do I do? Just like call during the week and make an
appointment? If you want me to help you, yeah, that's the easiest thing to do. Call me.
Okay, just call it at what number?
Well, my office number is 903-586-8114.
8114. 8114. Okay, thank you. I'm going to give you a call.
Okay.
I appreciate your help.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll look forward to it very much. Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, there's a few minutes left in the program. I have about 3 minutes exactly left. If you want to call with a quick question, I'll be sure tickled to help you. The number here is 903-586-5257. You know, I kind of wish I could, maybe that's what I'll focus on today. I really would like to focus on with the children excellence. When they're given a task to do, they do their very, very best. I don't expect perfection out of them, but boy, you want them to do their best. Good morning. How are you?
Just great, Dr. Morgan.
Good. Thanks for your call.
Two real quick questions. My daughter recently broke her leg. What can I do to aid healing?
How old is your daughter?
Just about 48.
Okay, if she exercises with her upper body every day, she'll heal 50% faster.
Okay. Second question, the mangionum. I've had those since I was 10, and I'm 77.
You mean the
cherry
mangionum?
Is there any other thing besides prostate?
Well, it usually suggests a hormone imbalance if there's a little bit too much estrogen, so it may be that you're getting too much estrogen from your environment. Some of the things that I look at, though, is zinc levels, so if I see a bunch of cherry hemangiomas, I think a person might require a little bit more zinc than what they're getting, so it could be as simple as that.
Okay.
But obviously you're 77, but the herb to help your daughter's leg to heal is called Go-To Cola.
G-O-T-U. Okay.
And then cola is K-O-L-A.
Okay, we'll give it a shot.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Well, thanks for your phone call.
Well, thank you, sir, very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Obviously, if you're 77, you've kind of blown past the average there. What does the average man in East Texas live to? Is it about 40? I'm just joking about that. No, I want you to be in good working order, but if you have these little bitty bright red spots all over your body, might want to consider zinc. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm so glad I got in.
Yeah, I got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, my mom is 77, and she's having an issue with her eyes, and she said that she describes it as it looks like a black liquid is running over her eyes, but it doesn't run out, you know, no one can see it, and she's constantly wiping, and she asked me to call in and ask about this. She's in Chicago, she's scared, and that's an issue that she's having.
Well,
any suggestions?
I'll just make it real fast. It's brutal, but I'll tell you what to do. One drop of garlic oil in the eye, and castor oil, and see if that totally resolves it.
Castor oil and garlic oil together in the eye.
Yeah, and it's brutal for about 30 seconds. It will sting and burn like hellfire, but she will not lose her eyes or vision.
Okay, and I'll call your office during the week to find out about her ears.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
So much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Lord willing, I'll be back this time next week.